This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
She loves it hot. He loves it cool. The Pod by 8 Sleep is a smart mattress cover that fits on your bed and keeps each side at the perfect temperature all night long. By staying comfortably warm or cool, the Pod helps you sleep deeper and wake up feeling more rested. Every morning, you get daily health insights and a sleep fitness score. Get up to $350 off with code DEEPSLEEP at 8sleep.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
She walks over to the bed, pulls it back, and there is the mutilated, essentially torn apart body of her daughter.
This is a true crime roundup from the On Deadline podcast. We cover true crime stories reported on by Odyssey radio stations across the country. You just heard the voice of Eli Frankel, author of The Black Dahlia, The Prairie Heiress, and Their Hunter. He's been featured on these roundups before to discuss the infamous Black Dahlia case. In this episode, you'll hear Frankel discuss the lesser-known Prairie Heiress case. It mirrors the Dahlia case in many ways, and Frankel even argues that the same killer was behind both gruesome crimes. We'll also dive into the case of a Hawaii doctor who has been accused of trying to kill his wife on her birthday, as well as the guilty plea of the Gilgo Beach serial killer and the trial of a FedEx driver accused of murdering a 7-year-old girl. Before we get into those cases, we also have updates on several other crimes from across the country. We'll start on the West Coast, where a Los Angeles area Easter egg hunt has sparked an investigation into human remains. Here's Odyssey station KNX News in LA with the details.
Portions of a skeleton that were found by a family in a park in Long Beach have been determined to be human. Pete Demetrio reports the LA Medical Examiner's Office is beginning work on identifying the victim.
The family was engaged in an Easter egg hunt in DeForest Park near Artesia Boulevard when someone found a skull and portions of what turned out to be a lower section of the jawbone. Long Beach police sealed off the scene after doing a search for additional bones or any other evidence and turned over the items to forensic specialists. As of now, a gender and age of the victim has not been determined, nor is there any indication of how long the remains were at that particular spot. Once those basics have been determined, efforts will begin to check out missing person cases in the Los Angeles County area to see if any of those reports match the evidence that was found in the park.
If we travel north of Long Beach to Oakland, California, we'll find authorities trying to solve a missing persons case. Odyssey station KCBS Radio in the Bay Area covered the story this week.
A missing Oakland cafe owner's family is keeping the search alive 2 weeks after she vanished without a trace. As KCBS's David Welch tells us, the search is now in its second week, with no sign of that missing woman.
It's been a little over a week since Oakland police reported any new developments in the search for Amy Hilliard. The last came March 31st, a coordinated search of Diamond Park involving deputies from three counties and dozens of volunteers. Those who know Hilliard say her disappearance has shaken the Oakland community she spent years building. Close family friend Tejul Patel says the community is who Amy is.
The thing about Amy that was really so amazing is she was a community builder.
And now that community is pitching in, searching trails, canvassing neighborhoods, and distributing flyers across Oakland.
Just everything that we possibly can to just drive awareness around Amy and her disappearance.
The family set up a website, bringamyhome.com, with updates on the search and information on how to volunteer.
Moving across the country to Michigan, we'll find the home of Lynette Hooker, who died last weekend after falling into the ocean while traveling in the Bahamas. Here's Taylor Dietz with Odyssey Station WWJ News Radio in Detroit with the details.
59-year-old Brian Hooker says his wife Lynette fell overboard while the two were traveling the Bahamian coast in an 8-foot dinghy boat on Saturday. She allegedly had the keys and the engine stopped when she fell in. Lynette's daughter Carly has been outspoken, saying something feels wrong as the relationship between the two was rocky. Carly said Brian left her this voicemail claiming authorities found a flotation device he threw to her mother.
Hello, honey. I just got a call from Oakton Search and Rescue, and I found the flotation device that I threw to mom when she fell overboard. And they haven't found her yet.
The Royal Bahamas Police said search and rescue is still underway, but in the latest developments, they said they took Brian into custody for questioning.
That case is still developing. On Friday afternoon, CBS News revealed text messages that it said were between Brian and a friend. In the messages, Brian said that the wind carried his wife away before he could save her. Another case is developing in Garland, Texas. There, authorities have offered an award for information leading to the capture of a suspect wanted in a 2021 shooting, according to Odyssey Station KRLD 1080 in Dallas.
He's considered armed and dangerous, and Garland police and the FBI are hoping $70,000 in reward money will get them information to find Abel Acosta. He was 14 years old when authorities say he shot and killed three teenagers and wounded a fourth outside a convenience store in Garland.
We know that people in the Garland community likely have ties to Mr. Acosta, his associates, or his family. And any piece of information you have, no matter how big or how small, would be important to the investigators.
FBI Special Agent in Charge Joe Rothrock says if you've got information, you can go to tips.fbi.gov. We've got a picture of Acosta on our website at krld.com.
KRLD also covered the trial of Tanner Horner this week. Horner is a former FedEx driver who is on trial for the murder of a little girl whose remains were found near her home in Paradise, Texas.
More troubling testimony today in Tanner Horner's murder trial. He admitted he killed Athena Strand in 2022.
Texas Ranger Job Espinoza says Horner had lied almost every time they spoke to him.
Is she alive?
And what did he tell you then?
That she was not.
But now, what's he telling you now?
That she was alive.
Okay. With regard to whether or not you asked her to get in the back of the truck, what do you know about that statement?
That's a lie.
Espinoza testified that when he pressed Horner about his lies, Horner told him about his alter ego named Zero.
Tanner implied that he was sometimes referred to as Zero, an alter ego that he made up for himself.
He says Zero told him to snatch Athena and kill her. Her body was found 3 days later in a creek.
You just heard from KRLD reporter Austin York.
The jury now has to decide if Horner should spend the rest of his life behind bars or be given the death penalty. They heard from Athena's stepmom, Ashley Strand, about the day she went missing and the moment when she knew something was wrong.
I mean, nobody could find her, but the biggest one was when we were all huddled in a circle and the helicopters were flying over us and nobody could find her.
She testified she thought Athena was playing hide-and-seek, but when hours passed and they couldn't find her, they called police. Police brought out everyone they had.
I can't even tell you. There were so many. There were probably 50 or more people there.
Horner himself seemed to be emotional during the testimony. Strand says since Athena's murder, life hasn't been the same.
I'm not the same. I don't trust anybody. You're just not okay after something like that.
Horner could be seen rubbing his eyes and putting his head in his hands during the testimony. Strand then described the moment she heard that Athena's body had been found.
I lost it. I just don't know how you're going to react to something like that.
Defense attorneys told the jury Horner suffers from mental illness and have asked for life in prison.
Horner's trial continued through the end of the week.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right now, new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $250 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. That's right, turn $5 into $250 in bonus bets just for getting started. And when every possession matters in the playoffs, FanDuel makes it easy to get closer to the action. From player props on your favorite stars to all the tools you need to back them up, FanDuel puts player research right at your fingertips so you can check stats, trends, and matchups all in one place and make your picks with confidence. It's everything you need, all in one app. So don't miss your shot. Head to FanDuel.com/podcast to get started. FanDuel. Play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Gilgo Beach murder trial in Long Island, New York, also moved forward this week. The admitted serial killer, former architect Rex Huerman, has been held in a cell by himself since he was arrested in July 2023, according to Odyssey station 1010 Winds. Here's some of the station's trial coverage from this week.
Rex Huerman is in court entering his pleas in connection to the killings of seven women and the judge saying he'll also admit to killing an eighth, Karen Vergata. We're getting live updates from our Sophia Hall inside, describing a packed, emotional courtroom, victims' families sitting just feet away, along with members of Huerman's own family. Sophia is telling us that Huerman has pleaded guilty to killing Melissa Bethelamy, Megan Waterman, Amber Lynn Costello, Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Jessica Taylor, Valerie Mack, and Sandra Costilla. Prosecutors say this case spans nearly two decades, killings stretching from the early 1990s through 2010. German, a Long Island architect, was arrested in Midtown back in July 2023, a stunning break in the case that haunted investigators for years. And now this moment is the day that families could finally get the answers they've been waiting for decades. After the hearing, victims' families and Suffolk County DA Ray Tierney are expected to speak to the media here at the Suffolk County Police Academy. Heurman faces life in prison, and as part of the deal, he's waiving his right to an appeal. He has pleaded guilty to murdering Karen Vergata as well.
Well, the hard part is over, everybody, for the families of the victims of Gilgo Beach serial killer Rex Heurman. He went into court today, as you've been hearing on 1010 Wins, and confessed to 8 murders. There's no more guessing, no more wondering. He did it. Sophia Hall was at the courthouse when the confessions came down.
The cries from family members of the victims could be heard in the courtroom as Rex Heurman never looked at them and never showed any emotions as he admitted to killing 8 women from 1993 to 2010, including a victim he was never charged with, Karen Vergata. His attorney, Michael Brown, says Heurman will speak at sentencing in June.
This case is over from our standpoint. There will be no further prosecutions in exchange for his plea.
Heurman's ex-wife spoke outside the courthouse.
I ask that you give some privacy to my family.
Suffolk County DA Ray Tierney now saying he's glad this is over.
For decades, this case stood out as a painful scar on the face of Suffolk County law enforcement, Suffolk County government, the citizens of Suffolk County, and the victims' families as well.
Yeah, Heurman reportedly said through his lawyers he didn't want to put his family or any other families through the pain of reliving things in a trial, and so he decided it was time to man up. Again, he will be sentenced sometime in June, where he is expected to speak.
This trial isn't the end of consequences for Heurman. He's also being sued, according to Wins.
The now adult son of one of the victims of the Gilgo Beach murders is suing accused serial killer Rex Heurman.
These are ghouls feeding off the flesh of the dead.
Attorney John Ray says he is working pro bono for the 32-year-old son of Valerie Mack, and he filed a wrongful death lawsuit against suspected serial killer Rex Heurman, his ex-wife, and adult daughter. Mack was murdered in 2000, and Heurman is charged in that case.
This poor young fellow was 6 years old when he lost his mama.
The ex-wife and daughter allegedly received 7 figures to participate in a documentary on the murders. Their attorney says the case was thoroughly investigated and both were found to have no involvement.
This podcast is brought to you by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in over 40 currencies with no markups and no hidden fees. Whether you're sending pesos across the pond, spending reals in Rio, or getting paid in dollars for your side gig, you'll get the mid-market exchange rate on every transaction. Plus, most transfers arrive in less than 20 seconds. Join 15 million customers internationally. Be smart. Get Wise. Download the Wise app today. T's and C's apply.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab 2 of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right now, new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $250 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. That's right, turn $5 into $250 in bonus bets just for getting started. And when every possession matters in the playoffs, FanDuel makes it easy to get closer to the action. From player props on your favorite stars to all the tools you need to back them up, FanDuel puts player research right at your fingertips so you can check stats, trends, and matchups all in one place and make your picks with confidence. It's everything you need, all in one app. So don't miss your shot. Head to FanDuel.com/podcast to get started. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
A strange case out of Hawaii has been making national headlines recently. A doctor there has been accused of trying to kill his wife on her birthday. He's claimed that his actions were self-defense. In Pittsburgh, where the suspect went to medical school, Larry Richard of the Big K Morning Show out of Odyssey Station KDKA Radio discussed the case with journalist and attorney Julie Grant.
They are hearing after the final arguments yesterday, waiting for the jury to rule on this Dr. Gerhard Koenig trial that has a Pittsburgh connection, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does, Larry. I don't have to tell you, true crime is really having a moment right now. And this has been one of those trials that captivated attention all around the world, and especially for everybody in Pittsburgh, because this defendant lived there and worked there for quite some time. And he talked about it in his trial. He actually took the stand and testified. He's being accused of murdering his wife. As you said, his name is Dr. Gerhard Koenig, and he went to Pitt for medical school and resided in Pittsburgh for some time, worked for UPMC. He's an anesthesiologist, and his wife, Arielle, is the alleged victim, and she was found by some hikers in extreme distress, Larry. It's something like out of a movie, what allegedly occurred here, that they were on this trip in Hawaii and everything was fantastic. So it seemed they were celebrating her birthday. They go on this hike and then the unthinkable happens. She says that he tried to push her off a cliff and that she fought for her life to not go over the cliff, and that he made some other attempts with a syringe, she says, trying to inject her with something and then beating her with a rock. And thank goodness for two hikers that just happened to be nearby and heard her screaming because they corroborated her statements, Larry. And this doctor is denying that that's what happened. He's claiming that she attacked him first. He took the stand and said that to the jury, Larry. And they had the closing arguments, as you noted, yesterday. And his defense team is saying that this wasn't a planned attack, that he wanted to celebrate her birthday, and that this was all Arielle Koenig who did this. But her testimony was strong. And if you ask me, my friend, I think his pants are on fire. I think this guy is lying, and his lies have lies about how this thing went down. And especially when you listen to the particulars about how he describes the event in question, Larry.
And he's so charged with attempted murder, and while his wife has recovered from her injuries physically, emotionally, she's saying that's certainly not the case. But one of the most damning parts of it, as I understand, is he FaceTimed his son after the incident. And
Yes. His
own son did not collaborate with his suggestion that he was the one under attack.
You're exactly right. He gave a confession to his son. According to his son, Emil, who took the stand and testified. So the two family members of this Dr. Koenig, his wife, who is now filing for divorce, Ariel, testified against him, and then the son from his first marriage. So he has two adult kids from his first marriage, and they were the ones who spent the majority of the time in Pittsburgh. And then he's got two younger boys with Ariel. And so this older son, who is 20 years old, took the stand and said that after this happened, my dad FaceTimed me and he had blood on his shirt. I asked him whose blood it was. He said it was Ariel's and that he tried to kill her. And then he proceeded to say that he was going to never be home, take good care of the other children, and saying things that he was going to jump off the cliff himself. And Larry, we know police had a hard time getting him down. He was up there for a while, refusing to cooperate and seeming to me to be in denial about this whole situation. And when you listen to this guy testify, I don't know who he thinks he's fooling. To me, his testimony came a very disingenuous and quite frankly absurd. But I'm not on the jury, Larry, so we never know what a jury will do. They're still out, and everybody's sleeping, I'm sure, on that jury right now in Hawaii. So expect them to be back around 3 o'clock today to continue the deliberations.
Do you anticipate a long deliberation? It doesn't sound like it. They're either going to believe her or him, but the evidence is definitely, as you pointed out in detail, certainly supports her situation.
Right. It really does. I don't think it's going to be a long deliberation. We know that the trial lasted a few weeks, and we know that at the heart of this was a disagreement, the marital problems and accusations of infidelity. And so this has the he said, she said component to a degree, Larry, where I could see the jurors wrestling with some things. Like, for instance, Gerhard Koenig, the doctor, is claiming that his wife was having an affair. And when he was on the stand, he characterized it that way. But when you heard from her, she admitted it was inappropriate messaging with a coworker who lived several states away. So more of an emotional affair, nothing that became physical. Still not right, but that was one of their problems. And so apparently this issue came up on the hike. And before the bystanders saw the screaming and her yelling for help, we know that something happened just between the two of them. And that's where the he said, she said component really comes in, where he's claiming that she shoved him first and then that she grabbed his wrists and threw herself to the ground and yanked him and pinned him. She, at one point, he was saying that she like pinned him with one of her legs and he was trying to fight her off. And to me, what sounded the most unbelievable in his version of events was that after he's saying this woman, this petite woman, is pinning him to the ground, that she managed to somehow grab a rock in one hand and hold on to his words, hold on to his testicles, grab his testicles while she was beating him with a rock with the other hand. Now, is she a superhero that she's able to do that? I mean, like, are her arms like Gumby that she can...
By the end of this week, Gerhard Koenig had been convicted of attempted manslaughter based on extreme mental or emotional disturbance, according to NBC News. And now we'll look into the murder of the Prairie heiress. Dana Wright of the Dana and Parks Show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City interviewed Eli Frankel, author of The Black Dahlia, The Prairie Heiress, and Their Hunter. We'll get into that interview in a moment, but first, Dana will fill us in with some background on the decades-old cold case from the Kansas City Star.
This Kansas City murder is still unsolved 85 years later. What happened? They write. And this is from the editors over at the Star. It was 1:30 a.m. on Sunday, March 9th, 1941, when 24-year-old Leela Welsh arrived at the door of the Brookside bungalow that she shared with her mother and older brother. She had a boyfriend who had walked her home. They kissed goodnight, and he left. Before lying down, Leela opened her bedroom's east-facing window in Brookside which faced the backyard. Little did she know, but the yard shadows hit a man. And judging by the pile of cigarette butts he left on the ground, he had been waiting for her, they write, for quite some time. The vicious murder that followed shook Kansas City to its core. And to this day, no one knows for certain who snuck into Lila Welsh's bedroom and brutally murdered her that morning. But author and television producer Eli Frankel has some ideas. In 2025, he published the book Sisters in Death, The Black Dahlia, The Prairie Heiress, and Their Hunter. In his book, he suggests that the man who murdered Lila Welsh in Brookside, right here in Kansas City all those years ago, was the same man who later murdered Elizabeth Short, commonly known as the Black Dahlia. That case was in Los Angeles in 1947. And he's out in California. How did he even get on the trail of a decades, decades, decades old unsolved case right here in our town?
And here is her discussion with Frankel.
I feel like I have a pretty good grip after my like 30 some years looking at all these old cases and covering them and reporting on them. Pretty good grip of the big unsolves in our town. This is one that I did not know about. And we are so thrilled you were able to make time. Eli, welcome to Dana and Parks, and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Dana. It's great to be on.
So how did you come to hear about this case? It was 1941. You and I weren't around back then.
Not even close.
How did you come to hear about it? Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been investigating the Black Dahlia murder, which is one of the most famous murders in American history, out here in Los Angeles for many years. And I started going through a bunch of old police and district attorney files that I acquired about the Black Dahlia murder. And there was a specific suspect in the case that the LAPD had been looking into really vigorously, too. He was like their top suspect. And one of the things that they mentioned in their notes was that he had gone to school with a woman in Kansas City named Lila Welsh, who was brutally murdered 6 years before the Black Dahlia murder, and that there were some striking similarities in the two murders. And they knew that this suspect named Carl Balsiger had gone to school with her, but they didn't know if he knew her. And here we have this guy who was they knew that he had spent at least 3 days with Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia, about a month before her murder. But they weren't sure if he had known Lila Welsh when she was at the University of Kansas City, now the University of Missouri, Kansas City, which I'm sure you guys know well.
Wow. Yeah.
But they didn't know if he knew her. So you have these two women that he definitely knew, and the other, they weren't sure about, but they knew that there were these really bizarre similarities in the two murders. And so I decided, wow, this maybe warrants some further investigation, and let's see if we can establish if he did know Lila Welsh. And as it turns out, not only did he know her, but their lives intersected in myriad ways in the years leading up to her murder. And they were actually constantly together and in proximity to each other at University of Kansas.
So they were classmates. So you have established they knew one another. That would be one hell of a coincidence, by the way, that you know two different women hundreds of miles apart that happened to be brutally murdered.
Yeah, exactly. And the similarities, the LAPD didn't even understand or realize just how similar the two murders were. There are certain signatures in the murder which are just undeniable. For example, and I don't want to,
Before you get to that, Eli, because I want to talk about the crime, because it does come with like a graphic warning from the Kansas City Star. Take me back to that night, March 9th, 1941. She and her boyfriend went to a performance at Municipal Auditorium, you guys, and then they stopped at Hotel Phillips for a drink, which is still here, Eli. I've been more times than I can count. That is the last time she was seen alive at Hotel Phillips. She goes home, and then what do we know about that night?
Well, we know quite a bit because her mother and her brother were asleep in the home when she arrived, and this is a pretty small home every room is very close to the other. So she arrives home. Her brother is asleep on the couch in the living room, and she walks towards her mother's bedroom. Her mother, Marie Welsh, wakes up. She speaks to her for a few minutes and then kisses her goodnight on the forehead and goes to her room, which is maybe 10 feet away down the hall, closes the door, changes, and then goes to bed around 2 a.m. And what we know is that sometime around 3 a.m., Marie Welsh woke up because she heard two deep thuds coming from somewhere within the house.
Okay.
She gets out of bed. She walks in the living room, and she sees that her son is still asleep on the couch. She thought maybe he had slipped off the couch. And then she turns off the light that was on in the living room and goes back to bed. The next morning, she gets up, makes breakfast. Her son leaves for work, and she cleans up for a bit. And then around 9 a.m., 8:30 a.m., she decides it's time to wake up her daughter. She goes into the bedroom. There's a strange kind of object holding back the front door, the door to the bedroom. She's able to open it, and she finds that a chair has been propped up against the doorknob, which is really odd. Why would her daughter try to stop someone from coming in? And she walks in. She notices that the window on the east side of the room is open. Her daughter sometimes wanted to, keep the window open because it got hot at night, and it's cold. It's early March, so it was about 31, 32 degrees the night before, but the house was warm from the heater, so her daughter opened the window. And then she looks to her left, and she notices that the covers on her daughter's bed are pulled up, as if it's pulled up over her head. And she asks her, "Are you okay?" And then she notices that there is a large pool of blood on the floor. And then she asks, "Did you have a nosebleed?" And she walks over to the bed, pulls it back, and there is the mutilated, essentially torn apart body of her daughter.
And we know whoever did this brought with him a heavy, they call it a track chisel. It's a 5-pound hammer, which was what killed her. And this was left nearby the scene. Is that right? Like, he left evidence everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's a crazy case because most of the time in murder cases, the police are searching for evidence and trying to find any clues. This was a murder where the killer left behind almost too much evidence. There was the track chisel hammer that you referred to had been laid down on the rug next to the bed, right next to the body. There was a cloth, a T-shirt that had been used to stop blood flow from hitting him when he cut her apart. And then he left a strange symbol on her ankle. The police described it as looking like the letter G or S. And then on the windowsill, he had pulled down the curtains and had arranged them almost as if he was arranging like a dinner napkin, like a formal dinner napkin in a fan. It was strangely arrayed. Like, you'd have to take a little bit of time to precariously position it on the windowsill, and he was willing to do that. And then outside the window in the ground was the butcher knife that was used to kill her, and it had been thrust into the earth there. And then further down the neighborhood in the alleys past the house was left the gloves that he used. And then, and this is possibly the most disturbing, the flesh that he had cut out of her thigh, he had thrown out in a neighbor's yard. And there were a few other clues that he left behind as well.
So they found all of these things, Eli. Did that evidence survive? I mean, the Kansas City Police Department evidence room has changed hands and locations several times. Does the evidence still exist?
It's a great question. I was never able to get an answer to that. But
I'll get you an answer to that. We'll call today
right,
and be like,
let's do it.
Because wouldn't there be a way to test some of that now? We didn't even know what DNA was back then.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I get asked that about the Black Dahlia quite a bit because her belongings were sent in to the police by the killer. The piece of flesh that was cut out of her body was also left behind for police to find in that case.
Did she have like an S or a G in her? It's gruesome to ask, but did they both also share in those cases that gruesome detail?
There wasn't a bloody mark, but that also might have been because Elizabeth Short's body was washed before it was left at the at the crime scene where they eventually found her. But there were significant other similarities between the two murders.
Huh. So what have authorities said to you about this? Any bites in California where they say, look, we're going to look into this, or no?
Well, I haven't heard from the current crop of detectives at the LAPD, but I have spoken extensively with one of the detectives that actually handled the case in the 1980s. You know, they, when there's a cold case, it gets passed down to one detective, and they retire, it gets passed down to another. So I spoke extensively with this detective. He had the case. He saw the evidence. I sent him what I had. He read the book, and, you know, I think he's he was very convinced by it. But in terms of the authorities that are currently there, no, I haven't had a chance to speak.
Are there any heirs left, Eli? Anyone? Like, her brother would probably be long past, certainly her mother. Are there any heirs that you know of in the Kansas City area that...
I sure do. So I actually got to know her niece, the daughter of George Welsh, Lila Welsh's brother, who went to trial for the murder and had nothing to do with it. The trial was so stressful, it kind of destroyed the family for a while.
Yeah, they tried to pin it on her brother.
Right, right. And a lot of that had to do with the Pendergast politics and all that, which you're familiar with. But I got to know his daughter really well, and she gave me an incredible amount of information about the family, the history, Lila herself, and a lot of clues that were really important.
Last question, Eli. It appears the house is still there. I'm not going to say the address on the air. It appears the house is still there, but has been readdressed. Have you been by the house?
Oh, yeah. I've spent quite a bit of time in that neighborhood. I was not able to get inside the home, but the neighbors were terrific, and I got to sort of explore the neighborhood and the alley behind the home.
Did they know? Did the neighbors know?
No, that was what was interesting. None of them knew,
and they
were kind of shocked to hear about it. But, you know, everybody's so friendly in Kansas City. they wanted to know the whole story. So it was actually a pretty enjoyable afternoon there.
Well, Eli, will you let us know as you move forward with this, and if you hear back from the detectives in the California side, and we'll try to get you hooked up with some Kansas City men and women here. The book is Sisters in Death, The Black Dahlia, The Prairie Heiress, and Their Hunter. You know, her niece, even though she never met her, I think deserves answers in this case, and we thank you for your work on it.
Thanks so much, Dana. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime in Real Time update from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to KNX News in Los Angeles, KCBS Radio in the Bay Area, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, KRLD 1080 in Dallas, 1010 Winds in New York, KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh, and the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City. You can find these programs on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. You can also get these true crime updates by subscribing to the On Deadline podcast, the Who Killed Strawberry podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You've heard me talk about Samaritan, and today I get to tell you about an additional sharing option called Redeem HealthShare. It's everything we love about Samaritan, like the freedom to choose your providers and be in control of your healthcare, but with more program options to fit your budget and healthcare needs in a modern digital platform. There's an add-on feature to allow for a wider range of medical bills to be shared, including preventative, dental, vision, and routine care. Join the hundreds of thousands of fellow Christians and check out RedeemHealthShare.org today.
Looking for a protein powder that tastes great and keeps ingredients simple? Meet Clean Simple Eats. Clean Simple Eats uses grass-fed whey protein isolate with 20 grams of complete protein per serving, plus digestive enzymes and a low-lactose formula designed to be easy on digestion. No artificial colors, no artificial sweeteners, just clean ingredients and amazing flavors you'll actually look forward to. They even offer variety packs, so you can try multiple flavors. Clean Simple Eats is undeniably clean and 100% delicious. Shop now at CleanSimpleEats.com.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.